Hello, and welcome to the Update Program. I'm Michael David, and my guest today is Charlotte Pardee, the director of the Ex-Mormons for Jesus Information and Visitors Center. Charlotte, thank you for being on the program today.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
Now, I've got to ask you, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, I'm from Ashtabula, Ohio, originally, and we live in Orange, California. I'm married and have two children and two grandchildren.
Fantastic. Now, you know, I've got to ask you, what is the purpose of the Ex-Mormons for Jesus Information and Visitor Center?
The purpose is to educate people on the beliefs of Mormonism. Many people do not, even Mormons, do not know what they believe, especially in the early beginnings of their church. So we're there to educate people on what Mormons believe. And if they still want to be a Mormon, we think that's wonderful. But it's important that people realize that Mormonism is not Christianity.
Why would you say Mormonism is not Christianity?
Because in order to be a Christian, you have to believe that Jesus is God. Mormons believe Jesus is a God. They believe the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are three gods. And what they believe about Jesus is very different from what a Christian believes or what the Bible teaches about Jesus. So although they use the Bible and believe in the Jesus of the Bible to a certain extent, they believe so different about him, they make him into a different Jesus.
I want to ask you, though, what are some of the goals for the Information Center there?
Our goal is to help Mormons to come to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, and to help Christians, to educate Christians so they do not become a Mormon. Because many Christians believe Mormonism is just another Christian religion and convert to Mormonism. And it's very easy to convert because they're very lovely people, but it's very difficult to leave. So we're there to help people so they don't go in unawares of what they're getting into.
Now, you know, you said they're lovely people, and actually I've met some Mormons before, and they were very, very mm-hmm. warm, very, very friendly people, even more friendly than some Christian people
mm-hmm.
I know.
That's right.
You know, and I mean, I think, you know, somebody might argue, well, wait a minute, they go to church, we go to church, they read the Bible, we read the Bible, they sing songs to Jesus, we sing songs to Jesus. So if the Mormons themselves are saying they believe in Jesus Christ, doesn't that mean that they're Christian?
Well, this is what makes a Mormon, when they say they believe in Jesus, which they do believe in Jesus, it's not the same as a Christian saying they believe in Jesus. The Jesus of Mormonism, they believe, was the first spirit born to a mother and father God in heaven. They believe we all pre-existed, and Jesus did also. And the second spirit born to the mother and father God was Lucifer. So Mormons believe that Jesus and Satan are brothers, and he's our brother also because they believe we were all pre-existent spirits in heaven. And then the Council of Gods got together and concocted a plan on how to people this earth. And Jesus gave his plan, which was to give us free agency. And then his brother, Satan, gave his plan, and his plan was to force us all to be good. And the Council of Gods voted for Jesus' plan. It made his brother Satan angry, and he rebelled and took a third of the spirits with him, and they were cast out of heaven, and they became the devil and his angels. That is not the Jesus of the Bible.
Now, you mentioned, I mean, it's not the Jesus of the Bible. I mean, it sounds like there's just some terminology differences. Why is there so much confusion there?
Well, that is what causes many Christians to become Mormons because of that terminology differences. Mormons believe in God the Eternal Father and in his Son Jesus Christ and in the Holy Ghost. Well, if you told that to a Christian, they'd say, well, that's just what I believe. Mormons must be Christians. They believe just like me. Joseph Smith said, let's take God the Father. He said, in the King Follett Discourse, which Mormons say was one of the greatest sermons Joseph ever preached, and he said, it's been reasoned and supposed that God was God from all eternity. I will refute that idea and take away the veil. I'm going to tell you how God came to be God. He was born on an earth, but they do not believe it was this earth. He went through everything you went through and died just like Jesus. And they believe he sits today enthroned in yonder heavens as an exalted man. The God of Mormonism is nothing more than a man that became exalted until he became a God. And then that God also had a father, and that father also had a father on all the way back, as far back as you want to go.
Now, that does sound quite a bit different than what we are taught in church, for sure, in the mainline Christian church. Now, I think all of us have seen Mormon missionaries on our door, or maybe we've run into them, say, you know, out at the mall or wherever we may be. Is there something that the Mormon missionaries routinely don't tell us?
Mormons are taught, I actually had a returned Mormon missionary tell me this. They said, if you do not believe they are ready for the meat, don't tell them. Tell them you do not believe those things. And it's not lying. It's justifiable truth because you're not ready for the meat. So many, many times, if you ask, as a matter of fact, we had a man come in the center, a young man come in the center, and he had just converted to Mormonism 3 months earlier. And before he converted, he said, he asked them, do you believe thus and so and thus and so? He asked them various questions, and they assured him they did not believe those things. So he said, I became a Mormon, and now I've only been a Mormon 3 months, and they're starting to teach me the things they assured me they did not believe before I became a Mormon. Now, I think Mormons have a right to believe whatever they want to. We're in a country that has freedom of religion. But I do not believe they have the right to deceive people like that.
Wow. Now, would you say that Mormons are polytheists then?
Mormons will say they are not polytheists because a polytheist, they say, worships many gods. And a Mormon does not worship many gods. A Mormon only worships the god of their planet. But they believe there's millions of gods out there, but they are all worshipped by the planet they're the god of. So in reality, they are polytheists, but because they themselves don't worship the other gods, they consider themselves that they're not.
Wow. Every once in a while, I'll hear that the Mormons baptize for the dead. Now, what is their purpose for that?
Well, Mormons believe, and this causes many people to become a Mormon, they believe that if you die and are not a Mormon, you cannot go to the celestial kingdom. Well, many, many people have died and never heard the Mormon gospel. They believe that if you die without hearing the Mormon gospel, then you can't go. So you're held in a prison place. And then a Mormon comes down, witnesses to you the Mormon gospel. And if you accept it, and someone on earth, because you can't go to heaven unless you're baptized and gets go to the temple and be married for time and all eternity, you wouldn't be able to become a god. So someone has to do that for you on earth. So if you accept the Mormon gospel and someone on earth does your baptism for you, goes and goes to the temple for you and gets sealed for you and does all the temple works for you, and then you accept it in the spirit world, then you can go to heaven.
Mormons seem to have many of the same values that we have as Christians. I mean, I hear them, you know, teaching abstinence and against abortion, against homosexuality. We have many of the same values. So why are they considered a cult?
Well, because it is not an issue that they do not believe in all those things, because they do. They believe in living a moral life. And I compliment them on that. I think it's wonderful that they're taught that. What makes them a cult in my eyes, and I'm just speaking for me now, is that my definition of a cult is one word, control. They are controlled by their leaders. There's a saying in Mormonism, when a Mormon leader speaks, the thinking has been done. None of your business whether he's right or wrong. So they end up yielding to, they believe when the prophet speaks, he's speaking for God. And so you have to yield to whatever he says. And I know Mormons that didn't go along with him inside, but they had to, because you can't disagree with what the prophet says. That is a cult to me.
Now, as I understand it, the prophet of the Mormon Church is their president, right?
Yes, he's the president of the church.
Okay. Doesn't the Bible say we're not to judge others, though? I mean, aren't we really judging the Mormons when we're passing judgment on them like this?
I think if you judge an individual Mormon, that would be true. Sometimes Mormons say to me, when I tell them I do not believe in Mormonism, they say, well, then are you saying that I'm going to hell then? And I said, no, I've never told a Mormon in my life they're going to hell because I can't look into their heart. Only God can look into your heart. Only God can judge your heart. But I believe I can judge what they're taught, what they believe. That we can judge. Because I believe there are probably some Mormons that maybe don't even believe what their church teaches, but maybe are afraid to ever say that they don't. So I don't judge an individual Mormon. I only judge their faith, and I judge it by the Bible. If I brought it all down to the minimum definition of the difference, I would say this. Mormonism is man-centered, and Christianity is Christ-centered. Mormons have a video that they put out and give to the people they go door-to-door to called Family First. They believe in families, and everyone wants a happy family. There's nothing wrong with that. But God said if you didn't love him more than your mother and father, you're not worthy of him. So they make everything for you. That's why it's very attractive, Mormonism, because no one gets left out. Everything, so many things in the Mormonism is opposite of what the Bible teaches. Mormons believe so entirely different than what I as a Christian believe. That is how God called me to the Mormon people. I had two missionaries come to my door, and I'm from Ashtabula, Ohio, so I knew nothing about Mormonism because we didn't have any Mormon churches in our town. And so I took the first missionary lesson. This was back in the 60s. They taught me, and I said, but boys, that's not according to the Bible. And then they taught me some more, and I said, don't you remember in the Bible where it says? And then they taught me some more, and I said, I'm very sorry, boys, but that's not according to the Bible. And the third time I said Bible, they got irritated with me, handed me a Book of Mormon, and said, here, read 2 Nephi 29:3. This is the first thing I ever read in a Book of Mormon. As a matter of fact, it's the first time I ever saw a Book of Mormon. God was talking to Nephi 559 B.C., and God said, when my word shall hiss forth, many of the Gentiles shall say, a Bible. A Bible. We have got a Bible, and there can be no more Bible. I said, thanks for showing me that, boys. Now I know for sure this book is not from God. First of all, God would never hiss forth his words. And second of all, no one would have known what a Bible was 559 BC, because there was nothing that was even called a Bible yet. So then I started witnessing to them, but they couldn't understand what I was telling them. So I invited him back for dinner a couple nights later, and after dinner, I played him a tape on how to be born again. And I thought they would just love it like I did, but they didn't understand what it said. So when they left, I said, don't you get it, boys? Jesus paid the total price on Calvary for all your sins. And they said, no, we don't get it. But if we ever do, you'll be the first to know. And they both gave me their telephone numbers from back home. Elder Paul was from Caldwell, Idaho, and Elder Tony from Salt Lake City. The next morning, I was reading my Bible, and my thoughts went to those two sweet boys. And I said, oh God, those poor boys, they don't understand what you did for them on the cross. And the Holy Spirit came upon me, and I started weeping for Mormon souls. And when it lifted, I said, Lord, I give you my life for the Mormons. I was 34 when the first missionaries came to my door. I'm now 79, and I have given my life all these years and seen many Mormons come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ to the glory of God.
Wow, that is fantastic. And it's good to hear that because I think a lot of people are under the impression, you know, they're there, they have their beliefs, they already know what we believe. They just don't believe it. So there's no need for us to try to share with them because we can't change them anyway.
We can't change them. Only God can. But you cannot believe when you start sharing with a Mormon, and not just Mormons. I read a book by a Jehovah's Witness that went door to door for 30 years preaching the Jehovah's Witness gospel. And he said, "Where are you born again Christians?" I went door to door for 30 years and only two women ever preached to me the gospel. And the second woman led him to the Lord. So Christians out there have to realize that Mormons are souls for whom Christ died, and they need to be set free from bondage into the freedom that is in Christ Jesus.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Update program. I'm Michael David, in studio with my guest, Charlotte Pardee. She's the director of Ex-Mormons for Jesus Information and Visitors Center. Charlotte, why don't you go ahead and give the website and the phone number and the address of Ex-Mormons for Jesus in case people want to get more information on you, and we'll also give it at the end of the program as well.
Okay. Our website is www.exmormonsforjesus.org. And our address is 240A West Chapman in the city of Orange. And our telephone number is 714-997-3498.
Now, are you saying then that Mormons aren't saved?
I'm not saying an individual Mormon is not saved to their face. I would never say that. But I'm saying this. If you accept Mormonism with all of your heart, I do not see how you could be saved. When I was finished reading the Book of Mormon, I saw what I call three spiritual poisons. And if you accept these poisons, I believe you have had it apart from the grace of God. The first poison I saw was in 1 Nephi 13:26, where it says, "Many plain and precious parts are missing from the Bible, and many covenants of the Lord they have taken away." Now, if you had a Bible with many plain and precious parts missing and many covenants of the Lord taken away, you wouldn't put your trust in that book like a Christian puts their trust in the Bible. That's the first poison. The second one was the first scriptures the missionaries ever gave me. "When my word shall hiss forth, many of the Gentiles shall say, 'A Bible, a Bible.' We have got a Bible, and there can be no more Bible." Then a few verses down, God says, "Thou fool that shall say you have a Bible and need no more Bible." And a few verses down, he said, "Just because you have the Bible doesn't mean I haven't caused more to be written." So first, they make you not trust the Bible. Then the second poison is they make you believe there's more than the Bible. And if those two poisons don't get you, the third one gets all of them. And it's in Moroni 10:4 when God asks you to pray and ask God if the Book of Mormon's true. And if you pray with a sincere heart, with real intent, having faith in Christ, He will manifest the truth of it to you by the power of the Holy Ghost. So many people, even Christians, will pray that prayer, and they get what they call a burning in their bosom. It's an actual feeling. And now they believe that God showed them the Book of Mormon is true. Now, if God tells you the Book of Mormon's true, is there any argument I could give you to talk you out of it? No. So you see what they're in now? They're trapped by that feeling. So one day I said to two missionaries, I said, "Boys, what if I prayed that prayer and I got a burning in my bosom? How could I ever deny that? If I denied it, it would be the same as denying the Holy Ghost." And they said, "Exactly. That's why we will never deny it." I said, "But what if that feeling I got wasn't from the Holy Ghost?" And they said, "Oh, it is. It is." I said, "I'm not saying it wasn't. I'm merely saying, what if it wasn't?" But they can't go there. So I said, "What if you prayed that prayer and God told you, no, it wasn't true? Do you know what your church would tell you?" They would say, "Then you didn't pray with a sincere heart." So I'm going to give you some valuable advice. Never ask God a question if you don't allow him to say yes or no, and your church refuses to allow God to say no to that prayer.
Now, you mentioned a little bit about Joseph Smith, the one who brought us the Book of Mormon in the first place. Would you say that the Mormons worship Joseph Smith?
I don't think there's a Mormon on this earth that would ever tell you they worship Joseph Smith. But I believe they do it unconsciously, many of them, because I've had ex-Mormons tell me they felt much more spiritual towards Joseph Smith than they ever did to Jesus. So they would never say they worship him, but they give him such adoration that it almost turns into worship.
Now, I've heard some Mormons say, you know, I testify to you that the Joseph Smith is a true prophet. Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the true church. What do they mean when they say that?
Well, I don't know if you've ever been to a fast and testimony meeting, but the first time I went, I thought I was going to hear them testify of what Jesus had done for them, because that's what testimony means to me. But they just testified of all the wonderful things the Mormons have done for them. And so they do all of that and even cry, and I'm sure it's sincere, and are very thankful for what people have done for them and everything. And then they close every testimony with that same thing. I know that Joseph is the true prophet of God, that Jesus is the Christ, and I say this in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. And even little children get up on a box and say, I love my mommy and daddy, I love my aunties and uncles, and I say this, and I know Joseph Smith's a true prophet, and they say the same thing. And you can tell they don't really know that, but they've been taught to say it. And my heart aches for the Mormon that doesn't realize what Jesus really did for them on the cross. I have no animosity toward a Mormon. I have deep love for them, because I do not believe they're evil people at all. I believe they're wonderful people. I believe they are very deceived people, and I'm here to help them see again.
Now, I think all of us have heard of the Mormons practicing polygamy. I mean, that's the old joke that, you know, they have lots of wives and everything like that. Is that true? Do they really practice polygamy?
No, I heard Gordon B. Hinckley on Larry King Live, and Larry King asked him two or three times. He kept bringing it up again about, do you practice polygamy? And Gordon B. Hinckley said, no, if any Mormon practices polygamy, it is excommunication. And that is true. If a Mormon practices polygamy, it's excommunication. But I told my husband, oh, honey, Larry King doesn't know what to ask him. I wished I could be there. What he needed to ask him was, I know you don't practice polygamy because the government was against it, and you, one of your prophets got a revelation that you were not to practice it anymore because you're supposed to obey the laws of the land. I know you don't practice polygamy, President Hinckley, but do you believe in it? They still believe in it, and they believe they will practice it in the hereafter, and I've had Mormons that have nightmares over that doctrine.
Charlotte, why do you think it's so difficult for Mormons to leave their religion?
Fear. We have an Ex-Mormons for Jesus support group meeting the second Tuesday of every month. And many of them have told me they could have never made it without us. The fear, even after they come to really know Jesus and are truly born again, they'll hear a little voice in their ear saying, but what if it was true? It is very hard to escape once you knew nothing but Mormonism. So this is what I suggest to Mormons that are maybe listening and have that problem, is to get into the Word of God and read it and read it and read it, because the Bible will wash all of that away. And the first Mormon I led to the Lord, her ancestry goes back to the beginning of the church. Her ancestors were converted under Joseph Smith. She has never had a voice say that to her, because I've witnessed to her so much and gave her so much the Word of God that Satan wouldn't even waste his time doing that with her. It's the Word of God that'll set the Mormon free.
Now, if somebody out there is listening right now, and maybe they're not in the area where we are here in Southern California, and they wanted to get an Ex-Mormons for Jesus in their area, maybe a place where they'd have a visitor center and such, how would they go about getting something like that started?
The way you could get that started is get a few ex-Mormons that have a burden for their people. It doesn't have to be big. You can start at a home. That's where we started. Ex-Mormons for Jesus started in homes. We had chapter meetings, we called them. And then you start that way, and you advertise in churches for anyone that'd be interested, and it will grow. And you never want it to grow big, because one of the things about Ex-Mormons for Jesus, especially, you usually should start with a support group. That's how we started. It is important that you don't have a lot of people, because this way people open up and people tell their heart. And sometimes in a big group, it's hard to do that. And when they find there's other people that understand them, one of the main things that we get from ex-Mormons when they call the center is they say, "Oh, you understand me. You're the first one that has ever understood me." Because the churches do not understand an ex-Mormon. And so you have to understand the Mormon heart and have compassion on them as they're coming out. But they can be set free. I've had Mormons tell me, "I don't think I'll ever be free." And then a couple years later, after they've gone through what we help them with, they get totally free by Jesus. And that's what our goal is, that Mormons can be totally free.
You were never Mormon, though, right?
Never. No, I never was Mormon. But you know what I am? People ask me, "How come you're director of Ex-Mormon Center when you're not an ex-Mormon?" And I said, "Because I'm a Christian that makes ex-Mormons for Jesus."
Well, that is a great way to end the program. Charlotte, thank you so much for being on the program today.
You're welcome.
One more time, Charlotte, would you please give the phone number and the web address and the mailing address if people want to get more information on Ex-Mormons for Jesus?
Okay. Our web address is www.exmormonsforjesus.org. Our address is 240A West Chapman Avenue in Orange, California. And our telephone number is 714-997-3498.
You've been listening to the Update program. My guest has been Charlotte Pardee. She's the director of Ex-Mormons for Jesus Information and Visitor Center. The views and opinions expressed on Update do not necessarily reflect those of management, sponsors, ownership, or staff of this station. We welcome your thoughts. Send them to Update Program, 3000 West MacArthur Boulevard, Suite 500, Santa Ana, California, 92704. Thank you for listening, and God bless.